You're listening to Vocalo Radio. I'm Ari Mejia, bringing you another very special feature for this week's Try Sounds Like. If you caught last week's, you know we're doing the Vocalo team members who will be departing as of May 28th. So today you're going to hear from Jesse de la Peña, host of the 5 O'Clock Mix Show. Here's the thing though, y'all. Jesse's story is not just Jesse's story. It is Chicago history. The legend that is Jesse is also the story of how Vocalo became the music treasure trove of discovery and wonder we know it to be today. Take it away, Jesse. You are deeply and utterly what Chicago sounds like.
I'm Jesse de la Peña from Chicago. I do a few different things. You know, people know me for DJing. And obviously in more recent years for the radio. I do a little bit of everything music related. And this is what Chicago sounds like. Originally born in South Chicago, and then we moved to South Deering. And then in the 80s, when my mom got remarried, we made our way to the Southwest Side, lived there for most of my teen years. And then after that, ventured up to the North Side, bounced around Wicker Park, further up, just overall made the rounds, and I currently reside in Berwyn. As a kid, my mom always had records around the house and 45s and albums. She was really into disco, and just really being introduced to it from my mom, and then later as a youth, listening to the radio and recording off the radio and making little tapes and with your mom yelling in the background, you know, little things like that. We just bought records. That's what we did, cassettes and records. Now it's kind of funny because people are like, oh my God, it's so cool you have records and vinyl. But that was just, that's like saying, oh, it's cool that you breathe air. That's just how we consumed. If you wanted to have this in your collection, you had to purchase it. And luckily, at home, mom had a few records that got me started. In Chicago, we were very blessed to have so many different radio stations playing different sounds. And that was probably my gateway. As I got older, I kind of started figuring out my personal music taste. And that was kind of like late 70s, early 80s stuff that was happening with the videos to the electro b-boy stuff, house music and hip hop. At the same time, I was interested in breakdancing. I was interested in graffiti. And it all kind of went along. It was something you did. I mean, hip hop culture back then, it wasn't so broken down and segmented like it is now. You just start doing it in your basement just to see how it works. You hear people doing it and then you try to figure out what they're doing. So going to those parties and trying to really peep what exactly is happening, because I wasn't really friends with a lot of the guys who were up there. So you're from afar trying to figure it out, you know, and putting together little ideas of how music is mixed and scratching and tricks and backtracking. So at that point, you're in your basement, you're in your bedroom, and you're just kind of in the lab trying to, you know, kind of take those next steps to be smooth and, you know, get your skills up. I did have DJ friends that were already kind of doing it on their own. So that was like, okay, something to aspire to at least get to that point where you wouldn't embarrass yourself, you know? So as one thing led to another, you record the mix, you go to the record store, you try to figure out what these songs are, you start collecting and building your crate just to have more music, you know, in your arsenal. You make a tape, someone hears it, thinks you're good enough to kind of spin at some basement party or what. You know, I was kind of doing it at my own pace. My other friends were way ahead of me, and I was just not ready. So eventually, you know, you spin at a backyard party and you kind of lose the nerves and you're able to do it a little more. For me, my advantage was I was starting out playing hip hop, but I really couldn't get my hands on a lot of it in Chicago. It was mainly dance music, house music. I did that for a while and then I got kind of bored with it. So I started venturing into more alternative, new wave, industrial. That was kind of the sound I was into, and it was playing on the North Side at Medusa's and Smart Bar and Neo, Octagon, Limelight, all of those places that I wasn't old enough to get into, but I knew they played this music. Medusa's was great because it had an early for the kids and a later night, because I feel like if I was just playing house music and dance music, I don't even know if I would have stood out amongst the other DJs because there were so many. But the fact I was playing a different sound kind of got me in the door. A similar story probably like 8 or 10 years before with Herb Kent and the punk out movement, you know. That was kind of happening over again with me and the guys I was spinning with because it was something different. At that time, school-wise, I was at Bogan, and then I was kind of like bouncing around. I was at Latino Alternative School. I went to Washburn Trade, and I met another DJ who was actually doing the same thing, and his name was Mike Huerta. And him and his brother were doing some pretty notorious parties in Little Village at the Blessed Agnes Church. And they gave me my first flyer. That eventually led to me working at a record store. I started working at Imports Records. Paul Weisberg, who was the owner, he had a friend named Joe Shanahan who would come in, who was the owner of Smart Bar Metro. And when he'd come in, Paul would say, "Hey, Jesse, show Joe what's happening this week with the music." So I started picking out music for Joe. And we connected and stuff, and it was the thing you see in the movies, the audition. You know, why don't you make a tape? We'll come by the office and, you know, we'll discuss it. And that's what we did. And things don't happen that way anymore. I mean, it was an audition. I made my cassette. We went up to the office. He turned on the system. We sat on the couch, and he would critique, "Oh, I like this. Oh, that's my favorite." And it was great because if you were to get a residency now or a DJ gig, it doesn't work like that anymore. So I love the fact a cassette led me to, you know, my foot at Smart Bar. And I was just this kid from the South Side who really didn't know anybody, but he saw something in me as well. So between Joe Shanahan, Paul Weisberg, Jeff Pazin, things started to take off and I started getting other gigs outside of Smart Bar. You know, I kind of dabbled in the turntable list stuff. Early on, I was never like, that was never my super, I was no Pumpin' Pete or anybody like that. But, you know, I could hold my own and, you know, had a nice little scratch. And, you know, I was technical, but I really tried to be tasteful. And in these battles, a lot of the DJs were just club DJs. They weren't very technical. So that gave me an advantage. This battle was for a new club that was opening up. It was called Kaboom. All the DJs wanted this residency. And it was kind of like on a fluke, I just kind of got in the competition. I put together my little 15, 20 minute set and I ended up, you know, moving forward and winning that competition along with Diz. It was definitely a runner up. So we were the first DJs at Kaboom. The owners were the people who owned Neo and a bunch of other little clubs. This was probably early 90s and I was definitely nearing my 21st birthday. As much as I love dance music and house music, it was a bit repetitive. The samples and the same drums and all that stuff. So I started kind of looking to like the origins, the disco records, the funk samples. I started realizing in these tracks, I really like certain elements. And I started investigating what those elements were, where they were from, who were the producers. And at the same time, where I was getting bored with dance music, this new sound out of the UK, out of Europe, was happening, and it was called acid jazz. It was funk, soul-based. It had some reggae, it had some rapping, and man, it just kind of went hand in hand. And I just took a break from doing the nightclub stuff, and I think Joe saw I was getting restless as well, Joe Shanahan, and he gave me an opportunity to do something a little different within Smart Bar. At this time, you were hearing about bands like the Brand New Heavies, the Young Disciples, Galliano, record labels like Acid Jazz and Talking Loud. So I wasn't doing the big Saturday night, but I was able to build this acid jazz, jazzy hip hop night. And he paired me up with some musicians and we started experimenting, you know, based on what we were hearing on those records coming out of the UK. He built his band and he put me in the band. He put me in as the DJ. And I wasn't used to doing any band stuff. I didn't know music theory. We incorporated different musicians. And the one guy who kind of saw something in me as well was Tommy Klein. For about a year, year and a half, maybe under 2 years, it was a Thursday night in Smart Bar. He called it the Booty Kings. And I was like, "Booty what?" I was like, and he was like, "You know, it's like a pirate's treasure, you know." And I was like, Okay. I mean, I was new to this. I didn't really have any say in any of that. I was the new kid. And then it kind of ran its course. But me and Tommy, we really were getting into this whole thing. And he was really dialed in with the musicians. And he said, you know, let's just keep this thing going. We continued it around town, wherever we could find a place to do it. We found a place called the Culture Club. And we started building this, and we needed a name because we weren't the same band. So Tommy came up with the name Liquid Soul. And Liquid Soul is starting the tour. We've got a record out, and we're able to start doing some major dates. Liquid Soul becomes this acid 13-piece at its height. And at the same time, I start venturing into radio as a mix show DJ. My view of radio was always kind of like, it wasn't something I wanted to do because I didn't want to be told what to do, what to play. I was always doing something a little different, so I never thought it would really work. But they reached out, the guys from Shrewd Marketing, and they said that 106 Jams is looking for DJs, and they're looking to kind of broaden their Hispanic market. I guess by the sake of my name, I came into conversation. So I started doing 106 Jams. I was in a great slot. I was just at that point where I'd done enough of the club stuff, and I started hearing about podcast. I started hearing about internet radio, and that kind of led me to discovering a couple stations, a drum and bass station that was based out of Chicago, and I had an opportunity to do my own show, and this was 2003. And man, I was like, this is pretty cool. There were some stipulations, you know, but it wasn't really regulated like a real radio station. I was able to bring DJs to my place and feature them and promote, you know, certain events happening around town. I started building a little clientele that looked forward to my De La Peña Live every Wednesday, 2 to 4 p.m. I did that for 7 years, and I was like, okay, I did it. I'm done. You know, it was nothing personal. I had a great ride. Right when I faded down De La Peña Live, Sylvia reaches out and she says, I have an opportunity for you. I just landed at a new place called Vocalo. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. I'm glad you remembered me. Thanks for reaching out. But I'm good. I'm good. Thank you. So she, you know, she said, okay, you know, I hope you can reconsider, you know. And I gave it a little more thought, and I reached out to certain people that I really valued their opinion. And we all were kind of like, man, this is a pretty unique opportunity. It's not a position that exists, but they're creating a position as a music curator. That was what they brought me in for. So I gave it a shot. We had a good opportunity to build something. And you know, the signal wasn't great, but we still kind of moved in that direction, and we found different ways around it. We started doing events, and I wasn't doing any 5 o'clock mix. I wasn't doing the Friday night show. I was just kind of like helping with marketing and doing specialty interviews and stuff. We just started doing specialty shows, and people were really responding. And, you know, I would do these nights around town. I started recording these nights and featuring them on Vocalo. Eventually, Sylvia wanted to know if I'd be interested in being a part of the Friday night show. And that was kind of something that was happening. And it started before I got there. It had like a really generic title. And they were booking DJs, but no one knew about it. And it was kind of like local guys. So I felt like if I'm going to kind of take over this whole thing, I'm going to use the people that I know. I'm going to use my contacts. Anybody's coming to town, let's feature them. They got something going on. And then it just became too much where it was like 6 mixes on Friday, the 5 o'clock mix. So 7 mixes fresh every week. And I was like, how am I going to keep up with that, you know, without repeating and stuff? So I had the notion to create the collective. It made perfect sense to create our own team. Chicago radio has always been very clicky. So if you had a great mix, if you had the skills and the passion, the music spoke for itself. We've been very instrumental about telling the DJ story and kind of giving them a profile over the years. Welcome, everybody. I am Jesse De La Peña. I'm happy to be catching up with my good friend, Fathom DJ. Fathom, welcome.
Hi, how are you?
That was always my thing. In Chicago, you knew the DJs, you knew their names, you knew their scratches, their drops. You knew their like trademarks, but you really had no idea why they were doing it or who they were. So giving the DJ a voice and really letting them tell you how they got into it and why they do what they do and what's the story behind that drop or whatever. That was a, you know, an opportunity that I felt like we had to take. For me, it's one of those things where there's a lot of things that helped build what people love about Vocalo. And I'm happy that I had an opportunity and I used my platform, I feel like, for good. You know, I am very Chicago. I mean, it's definitely the upbringing. I think it's the neighborhoods. I think it's the culture and being able to be in a place where it's so diverse. A lot of segregation. You can't walk away from that. You can't deny that. But I think over the years, you see different ways around that and you find different ways to bring people together. For me, music has always been that. Whether it was my parties or whether it's on the dance floor, you find a way to connect with people and music is always at the helm of that. My name is Jesse De La Pena, a music man from the city of Chicago. Do a bunch of different things, DJ, events, radio, and this is what Chicago sounds like.